There's at the bottom of Sama from the Bet, we're continuing with the Mishnah that dealt with Darche Shalom. So one of the issues that was mentioned in Darche Shalom was Mitzudot Chayav Ofot B'Dagim, that when they placed traps for animals, then there was a Takanas Chachamim that the animals found in those traps belong to the individual who set the traps, even though he's not made a Kinyan Midoraisa, he's not made a Kinyan in a Torah. Nevertheless, we assign ownership to him, we pay Darche Shalom. So the Gemara says, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah, right? The machlokas, whether it's considered Darche Shalom, according to Rav Yossi, whether it's considered Gezel Damur, that was real Gezel. So the Gemara says about that, Uzdei, the Overay, Kuli Amalo Plige. Nobody argues when it comes to Uzle and Ore that that is considered Gezel Gamur. What's unique about the Uzle and Ore is that those are Rishtot. Rashi says they're Rishtot Shelchutin. These are nets made out of strings, or Ore are made out of Gemi, out of reeds, that have a toch, that have some sort of inside. Since they have an inside to them, they're able to make a kinyan on behalf of their balim. So if they make a kinyan on behalf of their balim, then everybody would agree that it is Gezel Gamur. Even the Tanakhama would keep Plige, their argument relates to things like a lechi and a kukri. Now a lechi and a kukri, which is, Rashi describes a kukri as a string, a long string with lots of needle, what I would call hooks on it, some sort of fishing line, and a lechi, it's not clear to me what that is when Rashi is describing it, but some sort of, I don't know if it's a, some sort of stick or some sort of trapping device that does not have an inside to it. So in that instance, there's a machlokas between the Tanakhama believes that that's Mishum Darche Shalom, whereas Rabbi Yossi believes it's because of Gezel Gamur. Now the next thing in our Mishnah is Mitziat Cheresh Shoti V'Katan. So but there again, we have a machlokas between the Tanakhama who says it's Mipnei Darche Shalom, that they're able to make acquire a kinyan over it, whereas Rabbi Yossi believes it's Mishum Gezel Gamur. So about Rabbi Yossi's statement of Gezel Gamur, the Gemara says, Amar Chista Gezel Gamur Midibrehem. It's clear that even Rabbi Yossi has to agree that they don't have a kinyan Midoraisa, because they don't have Das to create a kinyan. They're lacking Das to create a kinyan. And since that's the case, then even Rabbi Yossi agrees that Midoraisa is not Gezel. Rather, Gezel Gomor Midrabanan. I was going to say, the Mainav Kamina. What's the difference? Mean Darche Shalom is Midrabanan, and Gezel Gomor is Midrabanan. What's the difference between these two types of Midrabanan? So the Gemara says, well, Tio Bidayanim. The ability to take them to court and to extract this item. I mean, that if you believe that it's Mipnei Darche Shalom, Tam Darche Shalom, then that's the right thing to do, but it has no legal recourse, and you can't go to court and claim Mipnei Darche Shalom that you want it. Whereas if you believe that it's Gezel Gomer Mitra Abonon, then in that instance, we say that the Gezel is legally, can be extracted, or can be, there's legal recourse in court, and you can go and collect the item from court, you can go and ask for it back. So now, what's the difference between Gezel Dirabonon and Gezel Dioraisa? So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says that when it comes to Gezel Dioraisa, you are puzzled me'edus. That you are puzzled me'edus, meaning someone who steals is called a Rasha, and therefore he's puzzled me'edus. And obviously, you're over a lot of Dioraisa. So when I talk about Gezel Gamor Dirabonon, even though you can legally extract it, nevertheless, there is no Sul-Edus here, and there's no Lab Midoraisa that you have violated. Right, the next case, it was the case of Darche Shalom, is Ani HaMenakef Rosh HaZayit. Right, a person, an Ani, who's hitting with a staff at the top of the olive tree, and the olives are falling below. We say that which is below belongs to him. Tana, Imlike Benatan B'Yad, if he actually picked them and took them in his hand. Now, when he took them in the hand is not so clear. I mean, that the way Tosfos read learns it over here. He says, Perishim Lakat HaZayitim B'Yadobi Shlicham Naretz. That he picked them in his hand and then he dropped them to the ground. That's the way that does the read. His Rashi seems to say, Mlikim Enatan Agabe Karka Biyad. So I don't know what it means that he placed it down on the ground or on the ground, but I probably.
It's different.
What?
It's different.
Oh, because he's up in the tree. So did he have to come down and pick them up? Or did he mean that he was up in the tree and he took them and then he dropped them down? So I don't know. From Rashi, it sounds possibly like the Tosfos read. Mlikim Enatan Agabe Karka Biyad. That he actually placed them down on the ground, right? Or you could read Rashi Enatan. right? And then you can use two commas and say, Natan, al-gabi karka, when he was on the ground, biyad, he picked him up in his hand. I think that the Tosfos read, and probably the first way we read Rashi is probably the right interpretation, that he took him up the tree in his hand. In that case, what? It's harizeh gezel gamur, it becomes gezel gamur. So Rav, in this instance, it's obvious that it'll become gezel gamur, because then he's made some sort of kinyan on the object. So Rav Kahana had a chazal of Hutzel. Rav Kahana was going to Hutzel, which is the city of Rav Oshia. Chazal of Gavro, Rav Shadi Ophir. He saw this individual who was taking, Rashi says, really right now, Rashi says maklot, he was taking a stick, with a natron tamre, and he was knocking dates off the palm tree. Also, Kamenake Rachel. So Rav Kahana came along and started to collect the dates at the bottom of the tree and eat them. Did you see that I actually put them in my hand? Not only did I hit them with the stick, but I actually took them in my hand and placed them down on the ground. Right, you must come from the city of Rav Oshia, which is Hutzel. Kari Alei, the Tzadik Yisodolam. That the Tzadik Yisodolam is a reference to Rav Oshia, because he was Muhammad, his Balabatim, to know the halacha, that they do the halacha, that we put in his hand, and become Gizel Gamor. The problem is, with this pshat, according to Rashi, is that what was Rav Kahana thinking in the first place? I mean, even if he didn't put it in his hands, the Mishnah says that there's a problem of Darchei Shalom. So what is it? Rav Kahana was ignoring the issue of Darchei Shalom and eating the dates anyway? I mean, what was Rav Kahana's Havamina that he could actually pick up these dates? So for that reason, Tosfos offers an alternative pshat, and that goes like the Rabbeinu Chananel. And Rabbeinu Chananel says, Ofye are chariot shel dekel. Chariot shel dekel meaning the palms of the palm tree. And that he was up there actually cutting the palms of the palm tree. And the dates were falling off as he was taking off the branches. So Rav Kahana thought that his interest was in the leaves, in the great chariot shel dekel, and not in the dates themselves, and therefore he went ahead and picked up the dates because he thought those were just a collateral damage from his taking of the chariot hadekel. Then the individual said then to him, listen, you know, not only did I take these out, but I actually took the tamarim off with my hand. When I took them off with my hand, that made them also, it wasn't just unintentional that the dates are falling, but intentionally I placed them down, and therefore they are mine. And that's what it kind of said to the Kilsan Allah, that he understood, he knew the halacha, that he had taken his hand, that it would become Gizel Gamur.
That
would be application of Darchei Shalom. Right. We do not object to the Nafkrim non-Jews coming and collecting Lechet Shechel Peah because of Darchei Shalom. That we provide monetary means, if we're giving tzedakah to the Ani Yisrael, we do that for the Ani Nachrim as well. When you visit the hospital, we visit the non-Jews as well as the Jewish patients. And you bury non-Jews along with the Jews, because Shalom. So Rashi points out, this doesn't mean that we bury them in the same cemetery, it just means that we attend. If there was a number of people killed, or there was we found bodies, then we attend to all the bodies that are found, the non-Jewish bodies and the Jewish bodies, because all of these because of Darchei Shalom, but not that we say, therefore we bury them in the same cemetery. It's just that we are metapel with the Meitei Nachrim, and all this again is because of as I mentioned said before, Meitei Darchei Shalom, because those are otherwise right. If we make such differentiations, then people will cast dispersions on the treatment by Jews of other people, and therefore we treat them equally, even though halakhically they may not be equal, right? Even though their mitzvah may not be equal, but we treat them equally because of Darchei Shalom. Okay, now the Mishnah continues with additional items of Mipnei Darchei Shalom. Mashalot is again in Yonah the Yom because of Shviz. Mashalot Ishala Chavertach Hashuda Shviit. Person, a woman can lend to her friend who is Hashud on the Shviit. Nafeh Ukvara. Right, these are sifters, different types of merakeids, different types of processing for borer, Vire Chaim, or a mill, Vitanur, and an oven. She may lender all of these kelim, but she may not actively, you know, be borer with her or be tochen mill with her. So this is by Shvi'it, Achashuda, Al Shvi'it. So what's the problem here? The problem here is that we have a Chashash that this woman who's Chashuda Al Shvi'it is dealing with Perot Shvi'it. Perot Shvi'it either because the Chashash is that she eats, she shomer, right? They guard, they do not make hefker perot shvi'it, or they're chashud that they keep the perot shvi'it even after the zman of bi'ur. Either way, there's a chashad shvi'it. So we may lend them items, right? So we may lend them items, but we may not actively participate in them because of something called misayayal obrei avera, that you may not actively participate, right, with another person to help them when they are possibly perpetrating an avera. Misayayal avera comes up, like Tosfos brings it up in other places, just the misayayal avera is distinct from lifnei iver lo titen michshol, right? So lifnei iver lo titen michshol is where you are the facilitator of the avera. I mean, without you, the avera would not take place. That's not true in this case. Misayayal avera is meaning that even though it would take place even without your help, nevertheless, your help facilitates or helps to facilitate the avera over here. And for instance, the example by a nazir. One may not hand a nazir wine in order to drink because you are because you're allowing to drink wine. Now, if the nazir has access to wine anyway, and you hand him wine, then there's no issue of the Gemara Bodhisattva says, because that's what's called Chai Abra Denaro versus Tre Abra Denaro. If you're on two sides of a river, then it's considered the Fnei Yiver, because he couldn't get it without you. But if Chai Abra Denaro, if you're both on the same side of the river, and he could have gotten the wine without you, then you become, as the Tosfos describes, as Misayei the Obrei Avera. You're helping him, right, perform, perpetrate an Avera, but not that you are the facilitator of the Avera. It's the same thing over here. This woman's going to do all this stuff without you, right, because she has the equipment, but you may not participate in doing this. Right, now, Eshet Chaver, Mashal Eshet Ama Aretz, and Eshet Chaver, who's Makpedet on Maestros, Trumas Maestros, Tuma, can lend to her friend who's an Eshet Ama Aretz, Nacher Kubara, not only could she lend her all these utensils, and Tosfos says Nafek Bara is just examples, but the same would be true with Erechaim and Tanur. Although possibly Tosfos differentiates by Tanur because they wouldn't lend a Tanur because it's either not movable, or because the Tanur, if it's Mekabel Tuma, has to be broken. I mean, there's no way to be Metaric, so maybe a person wouldn't take a risk with the Tanur. But, and not only can you do that, but you can also help her. You can work with her with the nafek, vara, buberet, tochenet, merakedet. You can do all the processing with her. Aval mishet hatila tamayim. Once the water is placed in the flower, lo tigayima. You may no longer participate with her. Again, because we do not help out those that are over avera. The Gemara is going to discuss what's the difference between the first case of the chashud al shvis versus the case here of eshet amaretz. Why in one case do we allow you to participate up to a certain point, in the chashud al shvis we don't let you participate at all? And all of these permissions that we're giving over here, the risks that we're allowing you to take, is mipnei darchei shalom. Since only yisurei derabbanan that are involved here, and since we're dealing with yisurei derabbanan, therefore they can be matarei mipnei darchei shalom. Umachzikim, yes, we won't get to today, we'll get this tomorrow, machzikim de nachrim v'shvi'it. We encourage nachrim, non-Jews who are working on shvi'it, we encourage them to work on shvi'it, or that they should succeed. Avalo yedei Yisrael, but obviously not a Jew who's working on shvi'it, because he's not supposed to be working on shvi'it. V'sholim v'shlomam v'bnei dachei shalom. And we can ask, we can greet non-Jews because of Dachei Shalom. Now, greeting over here is not simply greeting, because, of course, you can say hello, you can be greeted non-Jew. The problem is here that you use the word Shalom, and as Rashi points out, Shalom has the shame of Hashem. So despite the fact that you're using the shame Hashem to greet them, that's permitted because of Dachei Shalom. Now, the question, the obvious question that's asked is, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? I will point out that other Mishnayos and Shvi'is, Tosfos spends a lot of time on this over here, that other Mishnayos and Shvi'is discuss that you're not to lend things to people if their sole usage is not for Isur. So for instance, you can lend a para, you can lend a cow, or sell a cow to a Amaretz on Shvi'is, even though maybe they're chashed to on Shvi'is, because there are different possibilities what you can do with an ox or a cow. If that one, you could work, use it to plow the field, but you also could eat. Yeah. Therefore, when it's not solely, its purpose is not solely the Isur, Right, I'm sorry, Sal, you're right, very good. Sell it to an Amaretz because its sole purpose may not be for Isur. If there's something that's clearly only purpose is for Isur, then we say you cannot sell it. So Tosfos asked in our Mishnah, why over here do we not make such a distinction? Why don't we make such a distinction about what the usage is here, whether it can be used for Heter and Isur? And over here it's possible that you'll work with materials that are not Shvi's materials. So how come over here we're not allowing you to lend this stuff to her, work with her, because of the issue of Kashrut HaShvi'is, if there's a possibility of its head there. So now, the differentiation of Tosos over here says, well, that the Darchei Shalom, first of all, only has application by lending, but not by selling. So Tosos says Darchei Shalom, he separates. Darchei Shalom is only when you're lending or when you're doing something that's participatory, that is considered Darchei Shalom. To sell something to somebody, that's not considered Darchei Shalom, that's a business transaction. We don't say Mitnei Darchei Shalom. Number two is, he says over here, Rabbeinu Tam, Omer Hafa, Biyadua Shein Lam Herod Shvi'it. But our case over here is when we know that for certain she doesn't have Herod Shvi'it, right? Therefore, we're talking about a case where even though she's Chashuda, we still let you lend all these items that are clearly for Isur, right? But we let you lend them to her because we know that she doesn't have necessarily payroll treat. And because of that, we allow you to lend it. So now Gemara says, well, Tosfos says, if that's the case, what's the question over here? Right? If she doesn't have any Chashuda Shvi'is, she's not Chashuda at all in Shvi'is, then what's the question, Gemara's question, am I Shna Reisha Masa Seifa? What's the difference in the Reisha and the Seifa? Right, then, because she doesn't, in this case, we know that she doesn't have any payroll Shvi'is, and we're going to see that's the question of the Gemara now. So Tosfos wants to know, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what's the question at all? Reish Lomar, so he says at the end, Hasavra Shas, Ta'achmar Rabbanim Mitzvah, Chashudim, Kiluhu Bavadai Tevel, Dukmeh Chazaka. But when it comes to a Chashal Shvi'is, there, we say that even though she's only chashud, the Chachamim thought maybe when she's chashud, it considers as if it's badai tevel, and therefore we worry about it. I mean, that chashad extends from a case of safek to even badai, and that's what the question of the Gemara is, even though we know over here that she is not dealing with perot shvi'it. So now again, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, that's what Gemara says. Amar Abai, Rov Ami Aretz Masrinhe. Chai says the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is that in the Reisha we're dealing with Masrot, Trumot and Masrot. The Seifa we're dealing with Chala. So when it comes to Masrot, we have a principle, Rov Ami Aretz Masrinhe. And therefore what? Therefore, we don't suspect her when it comes to Trumot and Masrot. But we do suspect is when it comes to, what? Tuma and Tara. When we're dealing with Chala, we're dealing with an issue that she's going to be Mafish Chala, and she's going to be Mafish Chala bid Tum'ah. So therefore, when we're dealing with since Rav Ami Arter Masrin Heim, we only have a Chashash to Rabbanon. We have a Chashash to Rabbanon, then we say, B'dachi Shalom, you're allowed to help her out. But when it comes to Chashud al-Shvi'it, that she's Mukhsak one, that she's Chashud al-Shvi'it, then we can't allow you. So that'll be the difference. The first case, when it's talking about Shvi'it, Chashud al-Shvi'it, why can you lend her the items and not? Why can you lend her the items and not work with her? Because that's Chashud al-Shvi'it. When she's Chashud al-Shvi'it, we don't trust her at all. So therefore you can't help her. When it comes to Chalah, what do we say? Up to the point where we involve Chalah, then we say you can work with her. Why can you work with her? Because Ram Ba'amayar, it's a mastering thing. So we're only dealing with Chashash to Rabbonin that she didn't take up Trumas Maestros. She didn't take up Trumas Maestros. That's Chashash to Rabbonin. We're paying Darkei Shalom. We can waive that. But once you reach Chalah, there we're Hoshed, what? That she isn't going to be Mafish Chalah. Or if she is Mafish Chalah, it might create an issue of Tumah. And therefore we don't allow it. That's a bias answer. Rabba Amar, Hakaba Amaretz, Derbi Meir. Tumah Tahara, Derabbonin. Rabba says the difference is between, we're talking about an Amaretz here of Rabbi Meir and a Tumah Tahara, Derabbonin. What does that mean? It's the Tanya of the Bryce, Ezu Amaretz. What's classified as an Amaretz? Kosheno Ochel Chuliyav Vitara, Divir Bemeir. Anybody who doesn't eat their Chulin Vitara, that's what Rabbi Meir says. Chomimun Kosheno Master Peril Tav. Anybody doesn't take off Chumas Maisers. So if we define the Amaretz in our Mishnah as someone according to Rabbi Meir, what did Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir says that an Amaretz is anybody who doesn't eat their Chulin Vitara. Eating Chulin Vitara is only a Dinder Abanan. It's a Chumra that the Chabirim took upon themselves. So in that case, we can say, what? Go ahead and use the, go ahead and work with this Amma Aretz, because she's only kosher to make it to Kulin Tumah. That we allow you to do. Once you reach Chalo already has a different status in Truma, and therefore if you're Metame the Chalo, that has a real Isur involved with it, because then you have to be Shomer Mishmer Tumah Tai. We have to guard it from Tumah. So up to the point where we're dealing with making Metame Kulin, there we say, go ahead and work with her, because that's an Isur Berabonon, and therefore we're Matir by Derech Shalom. When it comes to the Chalo, that's already a din of Truma, and you're going to be Metame into Mido Raisa, then we say, no, you got to stop, you can't work with her. Whereas the Reisha case is a case of Truma Samaisra, she's Chosrid Ala Maisra, so we're not going to let you deal with it. So according to what you see, the difference between Rav and Abaye is, Abaye, according to Rav, right, they are less Chosrid, we don't worry about Truma, we're more Machmir, and worried about their issue by Maisras and Trumos and Maisras. That they are, not even if you say Rova Meir, it's Maisra, and we still worry about their Trumos and Maisras. But we're less worried about Tuma when it comes to Chulin Vitala. That's where Rova learns. Why is it the other way around? We're less worried about Trumos and Maisros. So we say Rova Amar, it's Masrin Hay. But we're more worried about Tuma Taro here. So now, according to Rova, this is the case, the second half of our mission is a case of Amar Aretz, according to Rabbi Meir, which means that we're dealing with Chulin Vitara. That's why they're called an Amar Aretz. And we're dealing with what? Tuma b'tara d'rabbonon. We're dealing with Tuma b'tara that's only mid-d'rabbonon. Why is it mid-d'rabbonon? Because we're talking about Chulin. Chulin is only Tuma b'tara d'rabbonon. There we say we waive it for Darche Shalom. Okay, we come to Chala, which is d'oraisa, we don't waive it. In the first case, we're dealing with someone's chasud al-shvi'is, is also chasud on Tumas and Maisos, and therefore we're dealing with d'oraisas, and over there we can't waive it because of Darche Shalom. So Marsha says, Mahavikani Seifa Mishat Tilat Maimot Yayimo, since the Seifa says what? That you can't use the Chala, you can't participate with it once the water goes in it. Well, the ratio lab of Tuma Tara is mean. It sounds like the first part is not an issue of Tuma Tara. The Tuma Tara issue only starts from the point of what the time that they put the water in it. And so now the Gemara says, no, Reisha is safe from the Tuma Tara, right? So there was, but no, the Reisha and the safe. I mean, in the second case, where we allow you to work until one point, and not from that point onwards, both those cases are issues of Tuma Tara. Reisha the Tuma Tchulin, the safe of the Tuma Tchalo. The first half is talking about Tuma that only deals with Tchulin, because until that point, there's no issue. Right? Whereas once you reach the point of Tchalo, being Mapish Tchalo, that's already Tuma Del Reisha, and therefore we start to worry about it. It's very ridiculous. The Gemara is going to challenge this. It says, the we have a brisa that says, Tochanim umapkidin etzel ochle shvi'it. You're allowed to be tochane, to grind or mill, and then leave your stuff with people who eat shvi'it. Etzel ochle peyotem b'tumah. People eat their stuff with tumah. Aval lo lo ochle shvi'it, lo lo ochle peyotem b'tumah. But you may not do it for someone who is eating shvi'it fruits, and meaning for their stuff, you may not do it, lo lo ochle peyotem, and someone who does that. Where it says, if you see that, what do you see? You see that we don't allow you to work, right, with people that are tochanim umafkidin. We allow you to place your stuff with someone who is an oklei shvi'it and an oklei perotem b'tumah, but we do not let you do work for them. Right? We don't let you do this. So we have tvuav obrei avera. You're not allowed to be tochen with them. You can't help them. Right, but our Mishnah says that you're tochenetima. You're allowed to be tochen with her. So how come our Mishnah says you can be tochen, and our case of here says you cannot be tochen? Now again, according to Rava, there's no issue here. According to Rava, there's no question at all. Why? Because our Mishnah is talking about a problem of Tuma and Tahara. The reason you have to be tochen over there is because we're worried about Tuma's Kulin is only be the Rabbanan. Over here, we're talking about a case of what? You're not allowed to be tochenetima because this is someone who is not Mafrish, right? Shumos Maitre, there's Koshala Shvi's, Hera Shvi's. This is a real Easter here. So that's how Rabbanan, the other way around. Rabbi is not a problem over here. Why is it not a problem for Rabbi over here? Because Rabbi distinguishes between Rav Amar and Maisrin Hain. And when Rav Amar and Maisrin Hain, then we don't worry about you working with the Amaris. Over here, we're talking about cases of what? Heiras Bituma and Shibukle Shvis, stuff that is, we do worry about. We don't have such a head there of Rav Amar and Maisrin Hain. So our Mishnah is Rav Amar and Maisrin Hain. So that we explain. Our Mishnah is a case where it's dealing with Tumas and Maisrin. That's why you can help out. But over here, we're dealing with Heiras Shvis and Okle Tuma. That advice says you can't help out because they are clustered in those areas. According to Rambam, who said the whole pshash before, he agreed, he says that what? That by our case, the reason that you can do it is because of Tumah and Tahara, right? Because it's only Tumah Derabbanan. Why isn't it Tumah Derabbanan here also? Now, Amar Abaye answers. So he's not answering for himself. He's answering on behalf of Rambam. Amar Abaye, Hotam, Kohen Achos, Lechol Tumah, Betah, Betumah, Spinah. Over here, we're talking about a case of a Kohen, and a Kohen is Choshev to eat his Tumah, Betumah, Spinah. That's what we're worried about. The Heavenly Tumah Doraisa. Then we're dealing with Tumah Doraisa. And that would be the problem. So our mission is talking about regular Yisrael. Regular Yisrael, they're not Choshev to eat, or the Kohen that's not Choshev to eat his Tumah, Betumah. And since that's the case, you can work with them. Whereas over here, we're dealing with the Kohen who is Choshev to eat Tumah, and therefore you cannot work with them. So that because it changes between Tumah Doraisa and Tumah Derabbanan. So when I said the Yachim Afidin, that's the case. If you're talking about a Kohen that's Choshev to eat his Tumah, you can actually give him the stuff to watch. Raminu, Mafidin Tumah to Israel, Am Haaretz. You're allowed to leave your Tumah with a Am Haaretz, Israel. But not with a Kohen Am Haaretz. Why? What's the difference between Israel and a Kohen? By Israel, they're mufrash from Truma. They don't deal with Truma at all. They don't touch it because they know it's totally out of their league. Whereas when you come to a Kohen Amaretz, you should leave a Gaspa. He thinks, Truma, man, I deal with Truma all the time. That's my bailiwick. That's the case. He's going to go ahead and eat it. Or he's going to deal with it. He's going to make it Tameh, the Truma. He's going to touch it. So there, if you want to explain our difference between our Mishnah and the Brises being when we're dealing with a Kohen, especially a Tuma, eating his Tumah Betumah in our Brice over here, then how can the Brice say you're mafkid with the Kohen? We know that you cannot be mafkid with the Kohen in Amaretz. So that cannot be the explanation of the Brice. So we're going to offer an alternative shot. Amar Abila, Hakumaskin, Abukhi Cheres, Hamukha, Samit Patil. Our case over here is a case where the stuff is totally sealed. Okay, so the stuff is totally sealed. So if it's totally sealed, we no longer worry about Tumah. Right, we're not worried about Tumah because it's sealed. It's Samit Patil. It's totally sealed up. So if it's sealed up, right, that's why you're allowed to be Ma'amid over here is because Tumah is not an issue. Tumah is not an issue because it's already totally sealed. To actually work their stuff, that we're not going to let you do because we're dealing with the Kohen who's Kashid Al eating Truma B'Truma. That's an issue derived, so we're not going to let you participate. When you're dealing with the Yisrael and pulling the Tara, that's our Mishnah, that will let you do Mipnei Darkei Shalom. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Even when it's a Klicher Samukhla Tabidil, Likha Shemet Tishitena, we still need that. Maybe his wife who's a Nida will pick up the barrel. In that a Mukach Tamid Patil protects you only up to a certain amount. It's not Matami Bitumas Mado. Not Matami Bitumas Maso. It's not Matami Bitumas Ovel. But it is Matami Bitumas Hesed. If someone who can give off Tumat Hesed, which means that they are able to transmit Tumat, even when they simply move an object, when they cause it to move somehow, then that Tumat can be transmitted even to a barrel, into some object that is Tamid Patil, totally sealed. So here's a Nida who has Tumat Hesed, maybe his wife. Let's say Tumat Nida will move the barrel, move the Tamid Patil, and make it Tamay. So hello, what? We have to offer another Peshav here. Elomar Yirmi Alokasha, Kandakiri Shabukshru, Kandero Shalobukshru. Hence, what type of items we're dealing with over here. And again, Rova's issue is an issue of Tumah and Tahara. So on our Mishnah, when it says we allow you to deal with the Amearetz up to the point of Kalo is because what? The Peros were never Hukshar the Kabbal Tumah. They never had water placed on them, therefore they're never ready to be the Kabbal Tumah. In that case, you can work with the Amearetz because his Tumah is going to have no impact on these Peros. Whereas in our case of the Brice over here, which says you cannot work with him, that's a case where the Peros were already Hukshar the Kabbal Tumah. Since they were Mukshar the Kabel Tumah, then what? Then we have a problem of
working.
So that's the way I thought to explain the Gemara. Rashi says no, that this differentiation over here, this Hakamaiskina distinction, differentiates between what the two breitos that we brought. We had a breito that says you're allowed to be mafkid truma right by itzel amaretz, but not itzel kohen amaretz because of libo gaspo. Whereas over here in our breito up here it says you're allowed to be mafkidin. Right, and here we said, well, how do we explain the price? So we said the price was a Kohen who was questioned of Tumah Betumah. So Rashi says this explanation differentiates between the two brightos over here. The two brightos, how do we distinguish between the two brightos? We distinguish between the two brightos by saying, when can you be mafkid? You can be mafkid when the peros are not
Mukshar the Kabel Tuma, and then they're ready to be accept Tuma. That's when first Brisa. The second Brisa that says you can't leave with the Kohen Amaret, that's a case when the Peros were lot no Mukshar the Kabel Tuma. They were not ready to be Mikabel Tuma. So based on this, right, we have an answer, and we're just because we're going to continue, the Gemara's going to bring more breakthroughs now that are problematic for these explanations. But until now, we have a Mishnah. Our Mishnah, what's the problem in our Mishnah? Why are you allowed to participate up until the time that the water is added into the challah? Why are you allowed to participate, and why are you not allowed to participate beyond that point? Right? Rabbi says the reason you're allowed to participate is because Rove, right? I mean, it's master in hand. They take up Tumas and Maestros. So there's no Kshash. Until that point of Chalo, there's no problem. Once you reach Chalo, then there is a Kshash. We don't let you participate. Rova said no. Rova issues Tuman Taro. So in the first half, in the position is, we're dealing with Chulin. Right, we're dealing with Chulin over here. When you're Matami Chulin, that's only Yisidera Abonon. So there you're allowed to help out because of Darkish alone. Once you reach Chalo, you reach a point where if you're Matami the Chalo, that's Tuma. That'll be Tuma Del Raisa. If it's Tuma Del Raisa, then we're Koshesh because we're not allowing you to participate in an issue that might become a Shash Tuma Deoraisa. So now we challenge Rova's position because we have another Raisa that says that you are allowed to what? Be Mafkid. And so Ochle Shvi eat, and people eat their Peroteam Mitzuma, but you're not allowed to participate with them. So according to Abai, this is no problem, right? Because Abai says our mission is dealing with Maestros, which Rova Mayar to Maestros. And over here we're dealing with Choshvel Shviz, Choshvel Tuma. According to Abai, that's not a problem, right? That is, of course you can't participate because we don't have that Rova. According to Rova, how do you explain this price? So the price is problematic for Rova because in the mission he said Tuma Vitaro is there up on it. So what's the difference between the Tuma Vitaro and our price over here? Why can't you participate in the price? So we said, well, we'll have to distinguish and make it into a problem del Raisa of Tuma Vitaro and the price. So how do we do that? We said it's a Kohen who is kosher to eat Tuma Vituma. Since he's kosher to eat Tuma Vituma, then we're already up to a del Raisa level. So it's the equivalent of Chala. And like Chala in our mission, which Rava says you can't participate in, so too in the Brisa, when we're dealing with Tuma of Truma, right, then we're also not going to let you participate because we're dealing again with a level Deoraisa. Now the Gemara challenged on a subcategory, sub-issue here, which is okay, fine, except that the Brisa is Tuma Deoraisa, but then how are you Makkid yourself with this person? Because we know you're not allowed to be Makkid with a Kohen who is Tameh. Right, so now, if you're not allowed to be Makkid with Kohen Tameh, so we have two solutions to that problem according to Rashi. One is, Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem because it's Mukaf Samit Patil. You're giving him a Kohen here, so normally you're right, you can't give it over to a Kohen to watch it. But over here, since it's totally sealed, we give it over to a Kohen. The Gemara rejects it and says, well, even if it's sealed, we still have a problem with his wife touching it and moving it, and that'll make it Tameh. So the next solution is no. The difference is that, what type of Perot are you giving him? If you're Makkid Perot that are not Mukhshu the Kabel Tuma, then we don't worry about it, because even if the Kohen touches it, they're not going to become Tameh. Whereas in the Brisa that says you're not allowed to be Makkid stuff with a Kohen, is a case where they're already Ra'ui to become Tameh. In that case, we don't let the Kohen come near them, we don't let you give them to the Kohen, because he might make them Tameh. Right? So that's the Gemara until this point. Now, the Gemara is going to bring additional Brisa to better challenges.
Remain. Can I answer this question for the lady? Because of understanding the case in the Mishnah, why at the point of adding the word, yeah,
because they're chassid al chala to be mufresh chala, they won't be mufresh chala.
They're not chassid al maestros, they're chassid al truma.
Chala, not truma.
Yeah, chala is then truma.
Right, but at that level they're already chassid. Right, they were chassid for not truma.
And chala is truma.
Right. But it's not we know that they were chassid on Beinyan Yamayaris. We're chassid not on Tumas Gedola, but they were chassid on Tumas Maestros. Tumas Maestros, which both of them have the same status. Nevertheless, when you come to Demai, we don't ask you to be Maestros Tumas Gedola, but we do ask you to be Maestros Tumas Maestros, because they were chassid on only Tumas Gedola we knew they took. And no question, Rova Meir's master name picks up Meister's, but that when it comes to Tumas Meister and Kala, we do not have such a Kazaka. Okay? Alright, now. Right now, according to this Reminu, we have a question from a Bryce in Agamara. Molik Chitin, the Token Kuti. You take your wheat to be ground by milk by a Kuti, all the Token Amaretz, which are Amaretz to ground them. Hara'ilu Bechaz Katam. They remain in their Chazaka, the Ma'ashir, Kulish Vit. right, that they remain in their status remains steady, if you took off Maestros already, or if they were not heroic to be eat, we don't assume that which came back to you was not Musar or not. He didn't exchange it. We don't assume he exchanged it. About gold, the Tumah. But when it comes to Tumah, we assume that what? That he did possibly make it Tameh. So hi, Mai. Hi, my Rumia. What's your question over here? Lagu Kimna prepared to the Hokshiru. Didn't we already tell you before the reason that you're allowed to be mafkid your stuff with the Amaret is because it wasn't Moksha the Kabbal Tuma? So over here, so if we say over here, this Bryce says an Amaret is not trusted to give you back or to leave stuff to Hor, over here you see a Bryce that says he's not trusted. How can we say before that you're allowed to leave your stuff? The first Bryce in the page says you can leave your stuff on the, what? It was a Amaret. So there we say he's not trusted. Over here we say he is trusted. So when I said the Gari the, so we said what? We already gave you that answer. The answer is that our price up top was talking about a case where the payers were low, hooks for the Kabbal Tumah. They're not ready to be Kabbal Tumah, therefore you can leave them with him. This price down here is talking about a case where they're already hooks for the Kabbal Tumah, so you can't trust him not to make them Tameh. So when I said the Gari La Makari La, what was the problem? What was the question? We already gave this answer. We gave this distinction. So that was Makshum to Kabbal Mirme Akhriti Allah. No, because we have other questions on this new price. So what's the other question on this price? We don't worry about him swapping out. You give him stuff that is already musar, or you give him stuff that's already tuka, it's not kapir shvid. We can assume that it gives you back exactly what you gave him. Is that true? Reminu. Someone gives his mother-in-law maser etchum notenla etchum notel him. When he gives her, like say he gives her wheat, or flour to work with, making some bread to his mother-in-law. Then he has to take off maestros from the stuff he gives her, and he has to take off maestros from the stuff that she gives back to him. She is an Amaret, his mother-in-law was an Amaret, and she's Chasuda to swap out what he gave her. Because, why? Because if something goes wrong with the Challah, she doesn't want to be embarrassed, or she doesn't want to give her son-in-law something wrong because of a bush of faith of her daughter. And so therefore, she swaps it out. So my says, how come it's any time off? The reason's written there, because it's a mother-in-law. A mother-in-law has ulterior motives in switching. She doesn't want to give her son-in-law something that is, what's messed up, she'll be embarrassed. Or she doesn't want to give her son-in-law something that's bad because it'll embarrass her daughter. So either way, she has a reason to swap it out. But if it wasn't her mother-in-law, then we wouldn't assume that she swapped it out. Some review the roots that he betakanat bitau kosham ichbadnah. Again, what's the reason? Review the says, again, she's embarrassed. She wants to make sure that her daughter is fine and that she's embarrassed by her son-in-law. So Mar says, ulu alma lo chashina. So that means the general populace, we do not worry about exchanges. But it's not, we have a Mishnah. Don't say the kuf katit. The person goes to stay in a motel and gives the owner of the motel maser chinotein lev chinotel. He takes up maestros when he gives her and when he takes back from her. Again, because she swaps it out. What do you mean she swaps it out? Mara says, Hata Moria. She over there, she's Moria. There, Brahma, Barbe Rab, Leko Khamima, Neko Karira. He'll eat warm and I'll eat cold. Right? So now, this Macholis Rashi tells us what the Mora Hata here is. Rashi says that she's embarrassed that she's going to cook, make this bread for the Talmud Chacham that's staying by her. 3 days later, he's going to want his bread and it's going to be cold. So I'm going to give him hot bread. I'm not going to give him cold bread. So she'll cook him a new bread and give him the new stuff. Tosus says, that's not Morehet there. That's somebody who's doing the Tova. That's somebody who's doing something positive. Morehet there means that you do something that is, right, questionable because you're Morehet there. You give yourself permission. So that's what the case. It also says the Morehet there over here is that she is willing to say, listen, you know, if I'm going to work for him, right, at least I should get the good stuff. I'll keep the warm stuff. I'll give him the old stuff that was in my fridge. I mean, I'm doing all the cooking. I may as well keep the new one. The fresh bread will stay with me. And I'll give him the stuff that's 3 days old because I'm doing the work here. If I'm doing the work, I may as well get the freshest bread. So that's what Tosafot says is more ahead. So Gemara says, so again, the assumption is that these are unique cases. Mother-in-law and the Punta Akit are unique cases where she's going to swap it out. But general populace will not swap out your stuff. By the time you... Yes, very good. Yeah, it's done in a rhetorical. She's going to say, look, I should eat, he'll eat warm and I'll eat cold? No way. I get the fresh stuff. Right? No, Rashi is referring to him. He'll eat the cold and I'll eat the warm stuff. Right? It's literally a question, not a rhetorical question, right? All right. But Tanya, so we have a price of Isha Khaver Tokhanet in Isha Tamaris. An Isha Khaver can grind a mill with an Isha Tamaris, and then she eats Meyah. when the woman herself, the Ishuk Haver is Tmea, Abelo Mansim, she told Rabbi, not when she's to her. Rabbi Elzer, Shimon Elzer, my opposite when she's Tmea, go to Tchomi, Ishuk Haver, Tan, no tenet, la, bo chelet. And she gives her some, and she eats it. Now, the Gemara says, Rashi learns this Gemara like this, that a Haver, an Ishuk Haver, who's Tmea, what does that mean that she's Tmea? That she is Tamei, and when she's Tamei, she will not take anything to eat. She won't put anything in her mouth because she knows she's Tmea, and therefore she has like a built-in like a guard that she won't eat anything because she is Tmea. Therefore, when she's Tmea, we let her work with the Amaretz, but when she's Tahora, we don't let her work with the Amaretz because she will accept from the Amaretz, she'll accept food from the Amaretz. Whereas, alright, so now we'll finish up the way Rashi explains it, and we'll explain it quite to tell us this now. The tenant of Lava O'Kelah, and she'll eat it. So Mar says, Hashta Migna Gavna, Chabute Lo Mechlach. Here, the Ishut Amaret is stealing. She's taking some food and giving it to her friend, who's the Ishut Haver. It's owned by her husband. Right? It's owned by her husband, and now she's giving it to her friend to eat. So how come, if you're going to say she's willing to steal, of course she's willing to exchange or flip something around, if she's willing to steal from her husband. So Amar Rav Yosef, no, that's not the case. Rashi says, Atanami Moria, she is more happy. Torah Mideshe Achel, that when a shore works in the field, it's able to eat from that which it works in. I mean, that's the heter. So if I'm working with the chala, I can take a little piece off when it comes to, I'm working for my husband taking care of this dough, of course I can take a little bit off. I'm the working, I'm like, just like a sure. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Tosa says that that can't be the case, right? Because, what is this? We're going to say that the Eshet Chaver over here, right, is, even though she's not kosher to eat Gezel, right, but, and not to eat any Musar, right, but she's going to come in and forget about this issue of Tumah Taharah. So now the Gemara says, he says that he doesn't like the distinction that Rashi draws, right? That he rather says that the problem over here is that she's Mesayet over Avera according to Rava. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashi explain over here that Eshet Chaver Tochenet Demeshet Amaretz Ari B'Tzvua Shel Chaver. We're talking about the Tzvua of a Chaver, that they're allowed to work together. Right now what happens? You have two women who are Amnei Aretz over there that are working. And so what's the Chashash over here? That she should not, right, this Eshet Chaver brings over her stuff and she's working with Eshet Amaretz, and we're worried that this Eshet Amaretz will give the stuff to another Eshet Amaretz. She will give it to another woman who's an Amaretz, and that's what the Gemara says. But she's not worried about stealing. She took some of the food that belonged to the Chaver and gave it to her friend, an Amaretz. We're not going to worry that she's going to exchange it when she gives it back to the Eshet Chaver. And so that instance, that's what the Chashash is over here. The Chashash is that she will steal because she'll willing to give it to her friend, another friend on Amaretz, then of course she will exchange it. The Gemara says, no, she was more ahead there. Why will she steal a little bit? Because she says, I'm working with it. When I work with it, even the shore who's working in the field gets to take a little piece off, so I can give a little piece to my friend. But when it comes to fully exchanging it, then she would not fully exchange the item.
The
Right. Because that's just the head there to work with the Amaretz. I mean, that if we know that the Eshet Amaretz is Tmea, right? So that's a given. So if the Eshet Chaver is already Tmea and the stuff is already done in Tumah, meaning that it's already pulling the Tumah, then we let you go to an Eshet Amaretz to work with her because there's no Shash of Tumah anymore. And if the Eshet Chaver is Torah, then there's a problem of what? That she's going to be Metame, that which is there. If dealing with an Eshet Chaver is already Tmea, then the Shash of Tumah no longer exists. And that's why you can work with the Eshet Amaretz. So now,
that seems to be the focus of the division. I was thinking the way you're explaining the case in the end is that through that is part of the level of the issue. So
right.
She's going to give it to a third party.
Well, that's what the price says. In Kinesia Chaver, no tenant, God will call it, right? If she knows her mouth is when she's male, looks at home. Even when she's male, you can't give it to her because she'll give it to her friend. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, the problem, according to Rav Shimon Elazar, is not the Tumah problem. The problem is that even when you're Tmeya, we don't let you do it because she's going to give it away and she's going to steal from it. If she's going to steal from it, then she'll be Mechlev Kalev also.
Yeah, that's
it.
But there's no third party involved over there.
Where's
she?
Yeah, the Pasha the Brisa is that it's only an Eishet Chaver and an Eishet Amaretz. Right? The way the Rak and the Rabbeinu Tam learn, it's got to be that there's three parties. There's another Eishet Amaretz, there's another Amaretz that she's giving to, not Eishet Chaver. Because why would she be Choshed? That's the Tosfos problem with Rashi's Pshat is, why would it be Choshed that a Eishet Chaver would take something that's stolen? You know, she's not Choshed Amaretz too much. She's not Choshed Amaretz too much of Maizus, but we're worried that an Eishet Chaver will accept something from this Eishet Amaretz, and she will steal from her husband and give it to Eishet Chaver, and she'll eat it? And what type of pshat? Why would an Eishet Chaver accept something that is stolen? And the more Hefer has to do with the Eishet Amaretz. Why would the Eishet Chaver accept it? That's the closest problem with Rashi's pshat, that you're associated on this Eishet Chaver that she eat something that is stolen. And that can't be. That's why he adds in another variable, another Amaretz, to avoid the problem of having the Eishet Chaver be the one who is willing to eat stolen items. Right? That was that.